Hallelujah. Philippians 4 verse 8. Faith or folly. That's a series we are doing. Faith or folly. Philippians 4, 8. Faith or folly. Look at Philippians 4, verse 8 says. It says, are you there? Let's read together. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. Now, does Paul affirm that a believer should think? Right? Should a believer think? What does it mean to think? It means to, okay, we've used the word meditate before, right? Can we say to reason? Think things through. A lot of times as believers, we focus more on faith and we think logic is of the devil. Are we together? We focus more on faith and we think anything logical is of the devil. Let me tell you, you will not be able to understand the Bible without thinking. And that is why you see in our generation, a lot of people, once the pastor says something, right, they don't think it through. They don't think it through. I remember there was a friend of mine reached out to me a couple years ago, was saying that, no, water baptism is something that no, the Christian must do, right? And anybody who does not get baptized will not go to heaven. Okay, so I ask a simple question, right? Okay, John 3:16, what does it say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. At what point does a man leave the atmosphere of perishing to everlasting life? When he believes. Does John 3:16 say when a man believes and is water baptized? No. So that's a simple question. If a man says he heard your gospel today, you preached to him today and he said he believes today, and let's say, unfortunately, before he crossed the road, or while he was crossing the road, right, a truck from nowhere just came and knocked him down and he died on the spot. Is he saved? No. The brother answered himself. He said, yes. No. That cannot be the truth. No. Let's come. Let's reason together. Because you just said that if a car should knock him down, that means, let's say they've told him his baptismal class starts the next Saturday. That means he has not even attended the preparation for the baptismal class. Talk more of gone to the water. Right? You know, from there we started talking about that. Okay. So you now ask the question, so what exactly is the reason for baptism? I said, now you are talking. Right? All I did to him was to let him think. Sometimes we don't think of the implication of the things we say. For instance, you see a car. I remember there was an accident that happened from the part of the world where I come from, Nigeria. And a car was coming from a convention. Both the driver and everybody in the bus, they were from that convention. And the car had an accident. And everybody died except one man. That same man came back to the altar where they finished receiving the word to say, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. God delivered me by his mighty hand. An accident happened and took the life of everybody except me. I'm saying, you know, I want to thank the God of this commission. Right? But just think a little. The God of the commission is the same God of the 20-something people plus in that vehicle that died. Are we saying don't be thankful? No. We are saying you need to think on how you are even thankful. How many of us know this song when we're growing up? Some have food, some can eat, but have no food. It's not we are, you know, that determines the school you went to. If you went to a two school, right? Yeah. We have food and we can eat. But you went to the school I went to. Iyafu and we can eat. Yeah, yeah. No, none of the words must land. It's not, cannot lie. We yahu and we can eat. Glory. Yeah. But you know, that song, just shows we don't think. How? Some have food but cannot eat. Who asked you to mention them? Some can eat but have no food. What's your business? If you know they can eat but have no food, what do? Give them food. I'm trying to say, you can thank God you have food. You can thank God you can eat without condemning other people in different circumstances. Yeah. This 2025, I want to thank God, for God has made me to see the first half of the year. Many of my mates started the year. What's your business with the many of your mates that started the year but they're not here with you? Do you know? I hope you know. When you hear of a plane crash and they say 500 people die in the plane crash, you know how you will feel is not the same way you feel if out of the 500, one is your relative. I'm just saying, why can't we just sit down and think? Why can't we just sit down and think? So, Paul says, think on these things. So, it means to think is something that is godly. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. Or verse 7. Let's read Proverbs 4, verse 7 to 11. So, is it good to be thankful? Oh, you should be thankful. But don't be thankful, and in your thankfulness, now add other people. That's why we always teach as a church that the thing to be thankful for about every time of the day is that which is about salvation. You know, no matter how bad anything happens to anybody that is a Christian, there's always something to thank God for, His Spirit. So when you have a job that is a multi-million dollar and you lose a job that's a multi-billion dollar, in each of those days you can still be thankful. Why? Because you are thankful for His Spirit that does not change with currency, that does not change with condition. So we're looking at faith and folly as a series. And we're trying to talk about certain things that some of us as Christians don't pay attention to. In the name of, I'm a Christian. Right? Look at Proverbs 4, verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all your getting, get what? Understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Is that correct? She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Verse 10 says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Look at what it says in verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Right? So it says, wisdom is principal. Get wisdom and get understanding. You cannot talk about wisdom and understanding without thinking of process and thinking. When you see a man who they say is wise, you have just seen a man who thinks. Right? If you see a man who is wise, you've seen a man who thinks. If you see a man who is thankful, you've seen a man who thinks. Do you understand? A lot of us are not thankful because we don't think. Because you know it's easy to forget the things that we go through every day and focus on that one thing we are looking for. Right? Yeah? But you know, scripture says that wisdom is principal, therefore get it, and in all thy gettings get understanding. It's very important. So thinking and logic, they are not anti-scriptural. Thinking, logic is not anti-scriptural. The opposite of faith, we've said it, is unbelief. The opposite of faith is not thinking. The opposite of faith is unbelief. And God expects that we walk with faith and also walk with our brains. You know, we said something last week. We said, how did you get your brain? You got your brain from God. Is God supernatural? So is the supernatural God the God that gave you a brain? So is your brain supernatural? It is. The root is supernatural. So why did the supernatural God give human beings brain? It's so that they can think. Say, I will think. Say, I will think. So we are to reason through our lives. We are to pay attention to God's word and to allow our thinking cap be on whilst we go through life. So in this series, we're trying to look at how to put checks and balances in our lives. Right? The Christian faith is the most important thing to the believer. But you know, the believer also lives in a world where everything is not about the Christian faith. It means you have a job, you have a car, you have a house. altogether. You have a job, you have a career, you have a family, you have a husband, you have things. A lot of us as Christians don't consider, you know, a lot of times in this world, what I found out is there are very few people who have a balance of natural and spiritual or supernatural. What I mean is, if you find a Christian, a lot of times it might be Christian to the uttermost. If you find somebody who is career driven, it might be career to the uttermost. If you find somebody who is family driven, family. But you know, you should actually have a life that is so balanced, such that you have your career going well, you have your marriage going well, you have your family going well, right? And you also have the things of ministry as priority going very well. So we're doing a series like this just to put our hearts in the right place, right? Scripture says in Hebrews, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, right? So it means that the Christian faith deals with training. So when we come to church like this, what part of what we are doing in church is to be trained. Are we together? So we use God's word to train our lives, right? In our generation, it's very easy for people not to be accountable. You know, an average person just thinks that they are right, everything they do. Have you seen people like that? You don't see people like that? Oh, you don't know people like that? Eh? You know people like that? That they think that everything they are doing, nobody else is correct. Yeah? They think nobody else is correct. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, the way of a fool seems right to him. Are we here? The way of a fool seems right to him. You know, people who are foolish, a lot of times, what they are doing that is foolish, they think they are wise. And that is why we need checks and balances in our lives to help rectify our brain. Right? Checks and balances. So this series is to help us. And like I said, we're going to talk about marriage, parenting, and some other things as the days go by. You know, but like I gave in the previous example, you want to get married to somebody, for instance, right? And the person says she doesn't want to have a child. Why? She doesn't want her shape to change. You want to have 5 children. The first day you were dating, the person gave you that disclaimer: I will not give birth for you. You want to have 5 children. You are not ready to adopt. What are you doing there? What are you waiting for? Right? Or you're a lady, for instance. You see a man who does not have anybody they are accountable to. Eh? You know, that's very dangerous. That there's nobody who can call your attention to say, oh boy, will you come on, get out of that place. Everybody around your man is, yes, sir. You're on track. Ha. You yourself, you're on track to trouble. Everybody around your man's life. I say, no, I just like him. I like him. He's free-spirited. He has a mind of his own. Eh? I'm saying, even if your father is not alive, it's not an excuse to not have a role model as a human being. Look for one. We're going to talk about that. Mentorship. Look for one. It's important. Right? Imagine if I'm in a relationship with my wife, for instance, and there's nobody who she can say, I will report you to so and so, and my heart will do boom, boom. One told the husband the other day, so I'll tell pastor for you, say, you and pastor will beat you together. Did this pastor go through? It's not easy. Imagine pastor hearing that. You and your pastor will beat you together. Right? And you now tell you want to come and host me in your house. Is it faith or folly? Faith or folly. Anything that makes me go there is not faith. Someone has already openly said that they will beat me. Right? How do you mediate like that in this generation? Voice notes. No, voice note is better. You know, because you will not respond, You know, it's better you just do voice note. Just give them 20 minutes voice note. Anything they say. When they want to play, if I put the phone aside and stand so that anything they shout off, it will not affect your ear. I'm going to say, you see people like that, yet you say, this is the one, this is why I call home. You know, a lot of people that call their partner safe space, they're in trouble. I just feel safe with her. And you are seeing traits. The question is, why do we not think things true? Why? Why? It's very important. Very important. So we need to ensure that we keep our hearts in the right place to ensure that we're not carried away by the delusion. I'm being careless because I'm at home. The delusion of faith. Do you get what I just said? Yeah? You just think that everything is by faith. There are structures in this earth that God has put in place. That is why even Christians who even people who are not Christians, rather, who follow those structures are successful. I told you the statistic shows that the almost 3,000 billionaires, we have less than 5 devoted Christians. That means there's a structure in this earth that is working. So are you going to interact with people who are not Christians? Yes. What does the Christian virtue help you to do? It helps you to put guardrails. You know what guardrails are? It helps you to put guardrails. It helps you to prevent and to see how you respond to situations, how you respond to scenarios. It is very, very important. So to be logical is great. You know, I said it a few weeks ago. A lot of times women in marriages, for instance, women are also always on the extreme of logic. And some of our women, a lot of them too, are also on the extreme of emotions. It's not one or the other. It's a collabo. Remember, right? It's a combination of both. You can be logically speaking, yet emotionally sensitive with your words. And you can be emotional and still allow your logic to at least work. So you can be a man of faith, right? I trust God my tomorrow is going to be better. You can't say I trust God my tomorrow is going to be better and every day you're waking up and you're sleeping. You know what it means to wake up and sleep? That means you just wake up to eat so that you can sleep. You know, people live their life like that. You just wake up in the morning, you know, just quickly take one. You don't even take coffee. There's no coffee in the house. It's hot chocolate, right? Eat chocolate, eat bread, eat egg. Yeah? I just stay on their bed. Let me just apply to this role, Jari. Let's see if they get back to me. You know, there's something called poverty that knocks at the door of people's heart. It won't be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. Some people, their financial status is their responsibility. It's not government. You know, an average man always wants to look for who to blame for their misfortune. And when you find that person you want to blame, it makes you feel at home. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. Right? You can't afford to view your life that way. The question is, what gets you running every day? Are you a man on purpose? Are you a man that has a sense of purpose, urgency for the things that you want for your life? Altogether. So God gave us brains so that we can think. Say, I will think and I will stay in faith. So what does God expect us to do with our mind? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, do not be conformed to the things of this world or to this world, but be what? Transformed. How are you going to get transformed? By the renewing. So is renewing of your mind a once in a lifetime thing? No. Renewing of mind is an everyday thing. How do you renew your mind? Through the process as well of thinking. Through God's word. Meditating on God's word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. Yeah, from my heart. But thou shalt meditate in day and now. And night rather. Yeah? And thou shalt have good success. And all thy ways shall be prosperous. Right? We looked about the word prosperous there. We said the prosperous there, right? The word was not given to an entrepreneur. Right? It just means that your prophecy will appear to all. You know, there's a way you see a wise man and you know the man is wise. And there's a way you see a foolish man and say, kai, is not wise. When they say you are not wise, is a soft way of saying you are foolish. Is a self-peddled way to say you are foolish. So last week on Wednesday, we're talking about how you talk, remember? We spoke about how you talk, is that correct? We used the example of Nabal. Yeah, remember the story? First Samuel 25. Nabal was in his estate thinking he was the Lord of the Rings. David just knew about Nabal and sent his guys and said, go and give him food and take care of them. Right? And Nabal said, who is David? Who on earth is David? What does he think he has? And I told you, I said, as a believer, don't know people's status before you honorably talk to them. Pastor Shego was talking about an example of one day where one man came to St. Community Church. He just looked at, Pastor Shego was at the door. He just looked at Pastor Shego and said, I'm here to see the pastor of the church. You know what Pastor Shego said? He's at the office. He's at the back. Just when you get to the door there, you will see. Right? Because the only way he can do that is because he probably came as a very puffed up person. Why are you puffed up? What do you have? I've seen millionaires become billionaires within a week, within a month. I've also seen billionaires become thousandaires within an hour. Are we here? So don't allow anything get into your head. That's how Nabal was. Such that the wife of Nabal, you see, don't be that man that your wife knows you are a foolish man. But your wife cannot tell you to your face. Is that not 1 Samuel 25? The wife went to go and meet David and said, don't mind that man, he's very foolish. He's a son of Belial. He said, just as his name is, folly is in his heart. He said, folly dwells in his heart. Imagine. You know, it's one thing to be foolish, and someone can tell you, bro, you are foolish. Oh. At least you can help you modify your lifestyle. But you are foolish, nobody around you can even say you are foolish. Abigail went to go and prepare food. She ran and went to go and meet David. And how did she meet David? My Lord, sir, you see that man that insulted you is foolish. Oh. Don't destroy. Because David had already prepared all his army. So we're going to destroy Nabal. And what happened? The woman knelt down, and prostrated, whatever she did, and she spoke to the man in David. And David said, because of what you've done, I will turn my chariots back. I will not destroy your family. What happened? They turned back. When the wife got back home, what was Nabal doing? You see, we want to shut down. He broke the road. He did party. He said, no matter what, we're going to celebrate. He was even drunk. Such that when the wife got back home, he could not even wake up the husband. Because if he told the husband can slap her. Why? Because folly dwells in his doormat. And what now happened? The day finished. The wine finished. And she now said, this is what happened. That's what happened. A few days after Nabal died. What did David say? David said, I thank God I hearkened to her voice. If not, I would have felt guilty. You know, David would have suffered guilt if he was the one that killed a man that would have died 10 days later. There's 10 days later, the man died. But if he had killed that man, he's still going to be on the list of people he has killed. And he'll be like, I wish I did not. He now said, you, for what you've done, come, I'm going to marry you. He eventually married the woman. How you use your words. You know, I tell you sometimes, don't allow one secretary in your husband's office to be talking to your husband more than you are talking to your husband. Just about finished dressing up, wear suit, put tie, put cufflink, put everything, put what do you call tie clip. And I say, it thinks it's going somewhere meaningful. It thinks it's going to produce something in that office now. Let it be going. And one secretary in the office just come, oh, welcome, Mr. Ebuka. Mr. Ebuka that's getting married in the next few days. I'm warning you people. Welcome, Mr. Ebuka. Can I get you tea or coffee? Our job is going in admin. One tea or coffee? Say, and if I will say, please give me tea. You just use deep voice. Please give me tea. Say, hot or cold? Sugar or salt? Is it sugar? Say, white or brown sugar? All those things are entry, brother. Ibu has head. He said, it can be. Because you are preparing good tea for him at home. Are we together? Right? Then what happened? Brother can now, when the lady now drops the moth, I say moth, the tray. Did when I say, is that all? But when he says, the Bible can just say, oh goodness, thank you, Lord Jesus. I stand in faith. Work that closes 5 o'clock, Bible can is not leaving till 8 o'clock. I'm just preparing one document. And you say, secretary, please wait for me. You know, that's how we start. You know what I've just said? I've said two things. How you treat your partner. And also, how you are even very involved in the sexual life of your partner. Some of you, only rapper, you know how to tie. Rapper as a woman. How can you be on, you are 20. But you've carried rapper, you've done like this. Help me. Help me bring the remote. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, you can dress well and not be ridiculous. And you can dress well, right, and be gaudy. You know, you can finish in tongues. My wife is very naughty. My wife, let me not tell what she did. You know, imagine you are in your room. And she just walks, and she just, someone that's not looking normal, look. Where is she? Right? And she now say, oh, pretty sugar, banana. Please interpret it. You know my interpretation. Don't worry, this is for small children. You cannot understand it. Right? I'm trying to say that there's a way you can behave. I'm going to touch that as well. Bible says, let's go there. First Corinthians. Like I said, we will not have a structure to what we are doing basically in this series, but we will say everything we think we want to say. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You think what I'm saying now is a joke. 1 Corinthians 7, are you there? Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Yeah? Does that mean don't touch a woman like this? Is that what it means? No. The touch there is what? Sexual intimacy. All together. Right? Yeah? So he says, nevertheless, to what? To avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife. Let every man have their own. So what is the one man, one husband? What is it to tackle? Fornication. Is everybody subject to fornication? Yes, so. I hope you know. You know Joseph in the Bible. You know what happened to Joseph now? Yeah? Joseph was at the point where he had to run or he would run dry. Are we together? Right? Yeah? What does that man, if that man eventually succumbs, what does he need? It is wife he needs. And I'm trying to say if he was not married. Yeah? I'm trying to say that the scripture teaches explicitly about what marriage between a man and a woman should keep away from. So imagine marriage is to stop fornication. Yet in marriage, there's no touching. You know, one of the things I've realized in the very few days of pastoring, right? Very few. I'm counseling people. Even before I even became a proper pastor, leading a church. Do you know that in our generation, even I think generally, we have more married people who wish they are single and more single people who wish they are married. A lot of times now, pastor, as a pastor, you need to learn that in your congregation, one of the things they ask that they have from you is that you are now forced to counsel the unmarried to stop sleeping together and counsel the married to at least sleep together. Do you get what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Yeah? We are forcing the unmarried, stop sleeping up and down now. Stop sleeping with yourselves. You are dating. You are boyfriend, girlfriend. Stop sleeping. And those that are married, sleep with yourselves. It's not an oxymoron. Yeah? Paul says, it is good that a man should touch not a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman his own. Now look at verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due what? Are you in your Bibles? Let the husband render unto the wife due what? Benevolence. You know what benevolence is? Benevolence. You know what benevolence is? You get benevolence. No, benevolence is not Bele. Benevolence is Bele. I need to redo your counseling. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. So what do you owe your wife and what do you owe your husband? Due benevolence. Amen? Due benevolence. That means it is the right of your husband, it is the right of your wife, for your body is not yours. So whilst your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, it is also the temple for your partner. It is not, your voice is loud now, this brother. Brother Ebuka, be careful. The wife had no power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband had no power of his own body, but the wife. Look at what he says in verse 5. Let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. Defraud ye not. So when you deprive your partner from touching, what are you doing? You are a fraudster. Brother, allow me this. You like this kind of teaching, huh? Yeah? When you defraud your partner from touching, I'm not in the mood. You two can't rest. Imagine some people tell, Are you a dog? So, someone has reached out to me and said that thing to me. Oh, that my husband will be real as he's a dog. Every small thing. Cha-cha-cha. I don't understand. If every small thing now, the husband is going outside, you say he's a camel. He says, defraud ye not one the another, except it be with what? Consent. So somebody reached out to me and said she wanted to go on a fast. Right? I can't remember the number of days she wanted to do on a fast. Right? And the first question I ask is, your husband, has he permitted you? Let me tell you, you wake up as a man or as a woman. You say you want to go on 100 days dry charge. And you are defrauding your husband. If you want to fast as a married couple and you want to do a personal fast, your partner must permit. Let me tell you, and permission can include anything. It can be, I give you, go and do 3 days on the mountain, come back home. Spend the night on that third day, then go back and continue to day 10. Or, I don't care, if life fast. You are your own God, you are your own. Right? But the consent must be given by the, are we here? Are we here? Why am I saying this thing? So it is clear. I don't want to have any issue with anybody saying, Pastor, my wife say she's fasting. My husband say she's fasting. Yeah, it doesn't touch me. You say, but you're fasting now. No, it is with. Look at, is it not in your Bible? I hope you know I'm not talking from my head. See it in your Bible now. Defraud ye not one another, except you be with consent. For a what? For a time. That means don't say, honey, I'm going on a fast. When will you finish? I don't know. No. Bible says for a time. That means there should be a period where there's a comma or a full stop. Are we together? It says, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And what again? Is it your Bible? Are we here? And come together again. So when you go and fast and go for retreat, what are you supposed to do afterwards? You come together again. You see, I'm just reading Paul. You see, I'm just reading Paul. I'm not talking human logic here. This is just Paul. You know, this is part of faith and folly. Because some people, because of their Christian faith, they will not touch their partners. Are we together? Right? Now, it's not an excuse that your partner is not touching you. That's why you go out. No, that's not an excuse. But at least let it be that there's no scenario that you are not being touched. Did you get what I just said? Yeah? A man who, for instance, has the culture and practice of going out to go and sleep with different kinds of people is someone who needs home training. He needs discipline. They need to caution him. Right? If you now catch us in mind and say, go ask the woman who married for me. When last did she touch me? You know, there are some things you will learn how to touch your husband or touch your wife. You don't learn it from the word. You know how I say word? It's not from the word you learn it. You know, some people, when you see them outside, they don't even know how to touch themselves as husband and wife. And they have 5 children. You'll be wondering, what did they do to bring 5 children to this world? I only just thought, he said, no, just, I don't like PDA. Now, there's excessive PDA. Do you understand? But there are simple things like hold your hands, give a hug. In my house, for almost over a year now, we had to insist that every day we must hug ourselves. Because a lot of couples, don't answer this question, but think about the last time you hugged your husband. Think about the last time you hugged your wife. Think about the last time you hugged your children. You're not hugging your husband, you're not hugging your wife. Your husband comes to you, there's a sister who is always hugging you. Oh, my brother, how are you? And you are surprised he likes to go to that church. I just like the way this sister hugs me. He's just so full of warmth. Such a gracious hug. When you just get back to the house, right now, you say, how do you even greet yourselves when you even come back home? You've come? If I already, when did you come? Ah, somebody come over. When did you come? That's how you say to Yoruba. When did you come home? I don't know. Hope you brought something for us today. I just walk away. I had to insist in my house. I don't come back home. How can I go and be laboring outside? Preventing my heart from seeing the unseeable. You come to the door and welcome me. When you are coming home, I come to the door and welcome you. It's up what makes the relationship get stronger. You just don't stay up and say, hey, honey, you're home. No, I'm out. When you hear the car outside, when I hear my wife's car outside, I leave whatever I'm doing, except in an urgent meeting. I go to the door, I open the door, and she meets me at the door. Sometimes I even check the camera to be sure she come. I go and meet her outside. Sometimes she checks the camera to see if I've come. I remember there was a day, I think a few weeks ago, I just even packed. I was about to carry a lot of this from the boot. She just opened the gate of the garden. You see, my heart just melted. You know, I felt like coming back home again. But imagine, you just say, you've come, oh. Welcome, oh. Your food is in the fridge. When you're ready, warm it. No. You can't live life that way. What I'm saying is for married people, don't go and be warming people's food in your in your boyfriend's. You have already finished cooking soup for your boyfriend. Not need to surprise the person with after marriage. No, it's for married people. Amen? Amen. He says, and come together again. So after church service, after 7 days fasting in God's palace, after weekly teaching, even in the middle of weekly teaching, don't defraud yourself, except there's a consent. Look at what he says. He says, but I speak this by what? Permission, and not of what? Commandment. For I would that all men were even as... That means Paul was not married. So Paul is saying, if you cannot hold your body, go and get a wife, not wives. Not girlfriends. nowadays in our generation, boyfriend, girlfriend come to church from immorality. You know, there's a way you should even come to church and feel at least sober. They say, I will lift your name all night. Put your hand down. The same hand you lift up, the same hand you're using to fornicate. And I'm not trying to say people don't fall into, you know, sexual sins and things like this. But don't be that person that is always everywhere. Let me tell you, if you are not married, you are not married, though. There's no relationship like boyfriend and girlfriend in the Bible. Are we together? See, because I've asked her out, I can't do anything. And Pastor, I want to know how this thing will be when we get married. You see, they'll tell you, you know. Pastor, it's just one we want to try. You know, there's such a thing called discipline and also being a Christian. Are we together? So you think called being disciplined and being a Christian. So why have I said all of these things? I was using Bible as an example. Is that correct? Yeah. If the house has a full ground, you know, your wife comes back home. Oh, baby girl, how are you doing? Oh, baby boy, how are you doing? Hope you had a good day. Yeah. You see, learn to call your name by pet name. I can't remember the last time my wife called my first name. No, it's not right. I mean, in the house, don't call my first name. No. Don't try it. And Joshua, you're home? No. It doesn't sit well. Yeah? And let it be that when you are talking about first name, it means that the matter reach to remember that you are a human being, not a baby girl or a baby boy. Right? You know, you can relate with yourselves that way and just say, oh, baby boy, how are you doing? Hey, babe, I just want to check on you. Hope you're fine. How's work? How can your partner leave house in the morning? You don't talk till you come back in the evening. And you say she should not look at the secretary. And you say she should not look at the bodybuilder. Just realize your wife like go to the gym. Or there's one ridiculous thing I see online right now. Cryptopractor or something like that. Those people that crack your bone. Chiropractic. Is that chiropractic? Chiropractic, you know the name. Yeah? You just realize your wife like going for the bone to be cracked. And who is cracking is a man that is built. Right? And even the man said does not even call his own customer by her own first name. He just says, Steph, are you there? When are you going to cook for us now? No. You can have a sense of honor in how you speak to yourselves. Are we together? You see, this life, is one. Is one. Have pet names for your husband. Have pet names for your wife. Yeah? My wife is my choice. Everybody knows it. Right? I don't even know my own name for her. I've been my own name for me. Right? But we don't have that kind of religion. Stephanie Yusuf, the first daughter of the... where you can actually have a relationship and build yourself. You know, it's good for your children to see you calling yourself pet names. I let them know you are calling yourself pet names because we are married. Nowadays, people, when you are dating, you are already pet name. They use pets to finish you. Because by dating, right? What am I saying to you? I'm trying to say that there are some things that you don't have to wait for it to be said explicitly. God told Abraham he would have a child. God didn't say, go and sleep with the woman. It is common sense that will make him know that to have a fulfillment of that prophecy, he must sleep with the woman. So, dear saints, I say to you today, right, we're going to have a full teaching where mom is going to address us as married people and parents as well. Right? I'm looking forward to that teaching. Right? So, let our world of experience help us, guide us. But I realize there are lots of things that I'm missing that needs to be said. You know, there's nothing wrong in reading. There are Christian authors who are marriage counselors and they have books reading. Read, you will not read. Instagram. From Instagram to TikTok. Why would your marriage not be like that? Yeah? How many people can you actually point to on Instagram and say that these people's marriage, right, they've mooted? How many? I'm not saying they're not there. And also, I hope you know. You know, some of us live in a world that is fake. You marry, first 2 weeks, people are fighting every week. It's normal! If you didn't fight, there's a problem. You're smiling. You are doing long distance now. How can you marry for your first 2 months? You say there's no quarrel. I'm saying you don't have any... Now, when I mean fight, I don't mean blow yourself. So, now, because I say fight, does not mean you should blow yourself. You should have disagreements. Are we together? When you have it, always remind yourself it's normal. Very few people post their disagreements online. All you see is the shining part. But for every shining part, because you will just realize that there are some things in this life that your partner has not seen the way you saw. there should be a friction. Yeah? There's long distance fights and quarrel, and there's co-living together, fight and quarrel. They're different though. If you've not done long distance, you cannot relate. Sometimes you'll be missing your partner, but you'll be looking for the nearest fight. The only reason you are fighting is just because you are missing your partner. I called you, you picked after the phone rang 4 times. Usually you pick after the second time. Why did you wait for the first? Where are you? Put on your video. Even for people you trust yourself, people you trust. Hey, I'm hearing somebody is cooking something under there. Are you home alone? Are you home alone? What have you eaten today? Who made it for you? See, I'm trying to say, those things should happen at the beginning, but over time, you start learning to overlook certain things. See, if you look at every fight to fight, you will grow old before your time. You're sitting like this, one fly passed, you say, you have not finished tackling this one, but if you look at every matter, your BP, there's some things you just have to learn to overlook. There's some things you just... It's one of those things, Jerry. Let's just move on. There's some things... A lot of times, people sweep things under the carpet too much. I'm not saying sweep things under the carpet. I'm saying overlook. Because you can do without talking about it. Are we learning something today? I don't know why I focused on marriage today, right? But God help us. So logic becomes dangerous only when it exposes God's word. Please know that. Logic is not out of place for the believer. It only becomes dangerous when it opposes God's word. It's not wrong. God gave us a brain. So what you use our brain effectively is faith and our brains. Faith and our brains. There are certain fights you don't focus on. Yeah? You know, you can be in a cab. How can you be in a cab? A cab we are paying money for. The driver is doing 160. And you are seeing he's doing 160, and you see he's driving recklessly. You can say, Oga, please calm down. We're not rushing to the hospital. You know, it's when you're rushing to the hospital, you want to quickly get oxygen. That's when you'll be running 160. Right? You can say, he that seated. He that seated in the secret place. You don't understand, you are seated in Uber. Right? You see somebody, you know, there's some things you don't need to even venture in. It's not necessary. I know the more, like I said, I think I said it a few weeks ago, the more you grow in life, right, your sense of responsibility begins to heighten. Hopefully you are wise. There are things you should have been doing 10 years ago, you don't dare do it now. There are things you did 3 years ago, you shouldn't do it again today. Right? There are fights that are not necessary. Look at Matthew's Gospel 5. Let me show you something, Matthew's Gospel 5. A lot of believers don't think it is something that you should pay attention to. And I'll give you a quick story that will drive it home for you today. Matthew chapter 5, and look at verse 25. Praise God forevermore. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Are you there? Let's read verse 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. Agree with your adversary quickly. Wise thou art in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary delivers thee to a judge, and the judge will deliver thee to the officer, and thou cast into prison. Sorry, what is the name you call this in our world today? Read your Bibles again. What is the name we call it in our world today? Huh? Huh? Bribe? Settlement what? What is Abi Esna? Is that not, look at that, read it again. Read it again. Is that what he's asking? Because they said before they carried the matter to the judge. Is that not what he's saying? Yeah, what, you know, some of us don't know how to we don't think front and back. I'll tell you a story. The house we used to live in, my dad owned the house we used to live in a couple years ago. Right? When my dad passed, we moved out of that house to another house that was closer in town and everything. So the house was worth a couple tens of millions in naira. Do you know that as soon as we moved out of the house, my mom, ourselves, we came together, we renovated the house so that we can let it out and be renting it to get money. That's 2018. The moment we finished renovating the house, the owner of the estate just came to us and blocked us from entering the house and said the house is not our own. Mind you, when my dad was alive, I remember I was there with my dad. My God had used my dad to minister certain things to himself and his family. out of excitement, he asked my dad to go and look for, it was a, the house I'm talking about was a bungalow, right? It has a BQ, so five rooms together with the BQ and everything. So he said, my dad should go and look for a duplex. Is that not correct, mommy? Right? But my dad, as a spirit-led man, he said he'd rather stay in his Konkolo house, which he did. When my dad passed, after we did burial and everything, after we entered the house, they stopped us from entering the house. Guess what? They said the person who gave the house to my dad or sold the house to my dad had not finished the work. Long story short, what happened? You see, the matter to cut. One man came to meet me. His name is, I won't call his name, right? He's a lawyer. I know when you're in a part of a world where law does not really have effect. You see, I'm not saying every matter you should settle out of court, but learn to think front and think back and know which one is better for you to do. So 2018, we went to court, right? They write letter. I know when people are looking for money, they know how to tell you. They know what to tell you as a lawyer. Don't worry, we'll win this case. We will sue them for $1 billion defamation. When they tell you $1 billion, you to your shoulder, you start thinking of what you use that money to buy. Let's go to court. You meet me in court. It's good. I appreciate the law work and all they do. 2020, 2021, a middle party came in to do arbitration. What this is happening right here. And what happened? The cost of the house was proper tens of millions. We lost proper tens of millions. And they said, you know what, for us to meet on neutral ground, let's give you this house. So we got that house 2012 or 2013. This was 2021. They gave us this house and said, okay, let's give you this house, let's give you this money. You hands off the house. Right? So into 2022. So my mom, as usual, we spoke about it. Said, you know what? I don't have energy for this. Take the money. Let's move on. Yeah? Lost over 50M. To put it in context. So let's go home. Peace of mind. Why did we think that way? I thought forward, I thought backwards. Even the person that we paid school fees to go and study law is not in the country. My brother, not in the country. Myself, not in the country. I should not subject my mom at her age to be chasing law case. We took the money, did a lot of things with the money, things profitable and all of that moved on. There were two houses like that that had that exact issue. The other woman, she said, no, I will win the case. I will win them in court. I will win them in court. You know the unfortunate thing? The person that sold the house to us, he turned off his phone, relocated his family. You only contact him when he wants to contact you. You know those kind of people. You can only contact them. Imagine you can only contact them when they want to contact you. Right? Switch off his phone. He went to one country. Let me call the cop before I give it away. Right? And eventually, the lady said, no. The lady is older than my mom. Her husband is older than her mom. Older than my dad and mom together. Right? She was not even living in Abuja. She was living outside. So every time they say they escort this thing, she would travel from another state to Abuja to attend courts. A few weeks ago now, she was saying, I wish I took that money. You know, the money that we took that time, when we converted it today to what you call in pounds, if you convert that exact money today, you would rather dash the company. You have to just think. No, the earth is the Lord's. I will take my position. Know where you are saying the earth is the Lord's. You know when to stop a fight. We went to court, though. I'm not saying, there are matters that will be bigger than that, obviously. You have to ensure you get the final decision in court. But just give that example, right? We just knew where to stop. And as soon as we got that money, our health started revitalizing. My mom is laughing. Our health, we just started having good health. Because every time we talk on the phone, what's the update? Yeah? And you know, the other man that traveled, he'll be telling us, the one that can only reach when he wants to reach, he'll be telling you, don't worry, fight for your right, Pastor Yemisi. No, they cannot do Pastor Yemisi's wife like this. And he's abroad. Now, the lady, right, she reached out now and said, I wish I listened to you and collected the money they were giving. Because even now, the court matter is nowhere, and they are not even willing to give her the money. Does Bible teach out of court settlements? I just taught you now, and I'm giving you practical example, faith or folly. When you see matters that you know of a truth, this thing is like your opponent will have an upper hand. Just be smart enough to calm down. Even if it's blood pressure that will deal with you. You will take DP drug. You will just, you know, people just know how to go. And there's another problem like that as well. In fact, I've never, it's only now I'm talking about it, I remember that there's something like that. Yeah? My parents bought the property somewhere in the west of Nigeria. You're laughing. What have we not done? We've carried soldiers to block the road of that place. They say the owner of the land, there's something they call Omonile. They came and said, imagine a man die. He gave a property to four sons. One property. He willed it to four different children. And the four of them thought they were the owner individually. Only for one of them to sell to us, we bought it. Right? The other ones came and said, no. They stopped building there. This is over 10 years. I remember my dad used to travel from Abuja. So this is over 10 years. This probably went on to almost 15 years till today. My mom is, okay, mommy, how is it? This is the first time I'm asking her. So let me ask her. Because I don't want, I can't be, you know what? You don't know what I'm going through as a pastor. To not add people that don't have settlements. People that don't know where they are going. People that they don't have anything to lose. I've not asked about it. I don't know. I've moved on. The way it came and it has gone, and that one will come by the grace of God. So what do? I focus on how my life can get better, at least to go and buy another property. But I've learned my mistake. Right? When you want to buy property again, don't go and buy from family. Better no. Don't go and buy from family. If you want to buy from family, do your due diligence. That is faith and wisdom. Don't be foolish. If I come tomorrow today and tell you that, oh, I have a property I want to sell to you. No, I don't believe that anybody I'm pastoring should just say, because he's pastor, I receive. Oga, you can tell pastor, please, this is a beautiful thing. Let me think about it. Let me see. It is how to view life. Me as a pastor, if I'm sincere, I should say, go and do. In fact, I should be the one advising you, go and do your due diligence. So. Not the one I'll go and collect fake paper and write my name on top. And give you the original C of owner will now come. You now not gonna move. You now realize you own this photocopy. Where do you start from? What's the worst that will happen? Hey, the pastor is a scam. Our church is who lose? After I collected your money, I go to do holiday in Dubai. You know, say all these pastors are fake. I won't go to church again. Who lose? Who lose? I'm saying, open your ears, open your mind, think forward, think backward. Think all around. You are laughing. Yeah? Think all around. Just ensure that you are thinking through things. Someone told you, say, there's a place I can tell you, I'll give you your money, I'll put your money. 4 weeks, 60%. Really? Send your account. No. Anything that will give you 60% ROI, even if it's 4 years, is Ponzi. You know what I call Ponzi? MMM. Welcome, MMM came and destroyed some of us. Some people. I was not part of it. Then, you know, a new one, four new ones have come after MMM. People still fail. I saw somebody saying he sold his house to put the money inside Sibe. You know what Sibe is? It was trending in Africa. Even in the UK. It crossed Europe, so international. Is it hard to design websites? One guy did one to me, and the name is IPC. Right? People are laughing. IPC. The company that the address of their headquarters in Canada, they put it on the website. I asked my friend to go there. he can hear this tomorrow. You know that kind of thing when the map will say, you've arrived at your destination. And where you are is middle of nowhere. Building? No. Human being, no. Document, no. They will not generate one MOU for you. You think you'll be reading. You'll be reading and you will sign. The moment I saw that there was no property attached to these people's name, straight away now, thank God, that's the only one I did that I know I made profit from. I made profit, forget it. Yeah? But let me say, you know, if let's assume you do it. You know, people get rich through that scheme. But let's assume you do it. Don't say, don't worry, I'll ask my HR to forward my next salary straight. My HR will forward my next salary. Don't worry, just wait till 28. They usually pay 28, 29. If it's not weekend, 38. I'll just ask them to send all my old salary to you. You say 6 months back? Not a problem. Yeah, no, just reason things. Reason through. Yeah, should we have investment? Look at that. Yes, you should have investment. You should have business opportunities. But learn to know that you need to think through things properly. See, I will think through things properly. Very important. Very important. I'll just close here today, right? But let me just end here, right? Ensure that you never forget that your Christian faith must be mixed with reasoning. Never forget that. Your Christian faith must be mixed with reasoning. When you start seeing people who are, you know, only faith. No. There's faith, but there's a place for planning. Let God's leading be the first one, definitely. But, you know, there should be places of planning. There should be a place of planning. Have documents. Write down goals. You know, I believe strongly in goals. Right? I believe strongly in goals. Every year, for the past over almost 6-7 years, I have goals I write out every year at the beginning of the year. And I score myself middle of the year. I score myself at the end of the year. What goals does for you is it lets you go back every month to see what did you say you'll be doing this year. Because some of us, when the new year starts, it's easy for us to just say things we want to do. This year, I'll go to church more than often. This year, I'll read the Bible 5 chapters every day. After January, struggle come. What do you do? I'll catch up. I'll start again next year. It's easy to go through that way. But write your goals down. What are the things you want to do? What are the things you want to achieve? It's good to think and reason. Say, I will think and reason more in the coming days.